We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is the Dynasty Roundtable Podcast. Thank you so much for watching, tuning in, downloading. Don't forget to click like, subscribe if you haven't already. Today, we are going to be talking about rookie rankings. We're going to be revisiting our rookie rankings because we haven't done that in a while, and a lot's happened. You know, rookie mini camp has happened. There was some news. I don't know if you heard, Matt, but Quinshon Judkins got into a little bit of a trouble, and that's a euphemism. If I've ever used a euphemism before, that would be one. He got into a lot of trouble, and he's probably going to get suspended. So the rankings have to shake up a little bit, and we're here to talk about that. And, you know, maybe you've got a rookie draft still out, hanging out there in the ether. Maybe you have an irresponsible commissioner, or maybe you just like doing it late. I don't know. We're here to help you tonight. And this also ties into redraft too, because, you know, where these rookies rank right now can help you determine, okay, well, is this guy going ahead of this guy in redraft? Well, how does that make sense if they're ranked this high in Dynasty? So this is also helps our redraft best ball people out too. But Matt Babish, before we get into it, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. And to quickly kind of parlay off what you're saying there for redraft, to second the motion, so to speak, if players are trending up in our rankings, which we'll talk about, players that are trending down, those same trends have a direct impact on redraft. And even more so because we have a slightly longer horizon that we think about and project when we deal with dynasty rookie drafts and rookie rankings, the trends are a little bit more important for redraft. If we have a player that's shifting, you know, was an undrafted guy, but is now kind of a round three, end of round three guy for us, that's somebody who's probably worth some serious consideration in deeper leagues and redraft. And you'll understand who we're talking about because you should be targeting that player in redraft leagues if you're deep in it. But Seth, let's enough foreshadowing. I think we should just go right into it.
Let's do it. And tier one is either a lonely tier or maybe he's just fine alone at the top, because sometimes it is lonely at the top. And we've maintained this position pretty much since we started doing this exercise in November. And it's Ashton Jeanty. And do you have any thoughts, comments, anything to say about this?
I think Hunter could be in this tier.
Okay.
I think Hunter could be in this tier. But I think there's still enough. I think there's still enough uncertainty to put Hunter in tier two. I think at the end of the day, it's kind of semantics, so I'm not going to spend too long debating it. But I think if they came out right now and confirmed, like, hey, for the rest of his career, as long as he's a Jaguar, he's going to be playing, you know, high level offense, then yes, he would be tier one. There is enough uncertainty to where we still don't really know exactly how it's going to shake out. Does he have the ceiling to hit that game breaker, you know, RB1, receiver one type ceiling? I think so, Seth. I believe you think so. But to be fair, there is still some uncertainty there.
Yeah, I know it's cheating to say this, but I would just love to know how this season would play out in terms of usage, because if you told me right now that he's predominantly an offensive player, I know that's what we've heard, but I mean, who knows what the Jaguars are going to do, and why would they tell us the truth? I mean, it doesn't do them any good. So if he plays 80 to 90% of offense, I think he would belong in this tier with Genty. But the thing, though, with Genty is he's going to get the Bijan Robinson opportunity. If he's good, he's going to get just touches upon touches upon touches in that offense. And, God, I mean, we could be talking about him as the RB1 overall in Dynasty. I know that's where you ranked him in one of our rankings episodes. I think you ranked him as your RB1. Is he still your RB1 overall?
Yeah. No. I think I might have put Git. I can't remember. It's been okay. A few weeks since I've looked.
I put you on the spot. So that's on
me. After putting him RB1, I did shake up my RB rankings. I haven't touched them since then. So I don't think he's my RB1. As of right now, but he's definitely one or two. He's not lower than that.
Yeah, and I just don't know if there's a path, as much as I like Travis Hunter, for him to see that kind of opportunity with BTJ there. Now, he could definitely get a boatload of opportunity in target share for sure, but I just don't. So maybe I don't know. I'm somewhere in between putting him in this tier and not putting him in this tier. I just would really like to know how this season would play out, which helps nobody, so sorry for that. Let's go to tier two, and we will see Travis Hunter here, Omarion Hampton, Cam Ward, Teteroa McMillan, and Travion Henderson. So thoughts, comments on this, and again, we don't really have too much disagreement here. The only disagreement that we have is you have Cam Ward at four, I have him at three, and you have Omarion Hampton at three, and I have him at four, so we have those flip-flopped. But outside of that, we're pretty much in lockstep. Anything to say about this tier before we move on?
Yeah, I think outside of Hunter, this is a get-your-guy tier. I don't see Henderson over Hampton, so maybe it's after Hunter and Hampton. But in terms of Cam Ward, we've talked about it a bunch of times. Like, if you need a quarterback and you're taking Cam Ward over Omarion Hampton, that is okay. Like, in a black box for my rankings, I have Hampton over Ward because I assume kind of a neutral stance on things when I put the rankings in. But if I'm a very QB needy team, I have really warmed up to drafting Cam Ward throughout this offseason process. So he could go three here in any draft, and I could be okay with it.
Yeah, I have much more Cam Ward than I thought I would have, because to be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of the prospect. I like him, but this is also kind of CJ Stroud PTSD for me, because I also was not a huge fan of CJ Stroud, and look how that turned out. And we're not afraid to own our L's here, because I was as high as anybody can be on Caleb Johnson. He was my quarterback one, and Daniels I had at two, or maybe it was Drake May at two. I'd have to go back and look. But I mean, I thought Caleb would be a superstar. I'm still hoping. If I wasn't a Bears fan, I would probably think that Caleb would still be a superstar, but I'm so jaded as a Bears fan that I'm like, I need to see it before I'm willing to, you know, fully commit once again. But the fact that Cam Ward went 101 overall means that he's locked in as the starter for the next 3 years, unless he's just god awful. Will Levis, I don't know if you saw, season-ending shoulder injury today. That news came out today. I feel like we got a fair bit of NFL news today. So he's locked in as the starter. If there ever even was a debate, there's no debate now. And again, if you're, say, a win-now team that got unlucky and for some reason you're in the top half of your rookie draft and you want to take Tetero McMillan or Amarion Hampton over Cam Ward if you're good at quarterback, I don't really have a problem with that. But the thing was, Cam Ward continually fell for me to like the 105, 106. And Trevion Henderson, Amarion Hampton, and Tetero McMillan in a lot of those cases were all off the board. So the obvious choice was Cam Ward. I feel like I had that decision more times than not in a lot of my rookie drafts. And I do about, God, I think it's 30 rookie drafts. I'm in like 30 dynasty leagues at this point. So I do a lot of rookie drafts. So I completely agree with you. That's a long way to say that I agree. It's kind of go get your guy. And I think Trevion Henderson does separate himself enough for me to jump him into this tier. But there's another running back that we're going to talk about right now, and that's RJ Harvey and Caleb Johnson, who I really thought long and hard about either moving Trevion down or putting RJ Harvey in that tier two. Because the more I watched RJ Harvey, the more I look into how Sean Payton has used his running backs as pass catchers in the past, or over the last two seasons, I mean, just peppering Javonte Williams with targets of all people. Now he has RJ Harvey, took him in round two. I really don't see too many scenarios. I mean, it's possible, I suppose, where this doesn't work out really well for RJ Harvey, and the offensive line's good and you're in a good offensive scheme. I mean, tell me, help me out here. What do you think of this tier two, and what do you think of RJ Harvey?
Yeah. So the separation with Henderson is just prospect talent and pedigree. Right. He already earned himself that spot in that order. And Caleb Johnson and RJ Harvey really helped themselves with their draft capital and landing spot. Judkins, funny enough, was my ninth player going into this. So post draft, Seth, you can check the sheet in Google Sheets if you want to. He was already ninth in my ranking, so I didn't even end up moving him down after this. I already felt like I was on the lower side of Judkins with going into a Browns offense where we don't know when they're going to be good enough. Like even Pittsburgh is projected to have a better short-term offensive outlook than Cleveland. And then we get into the Broncos, who are a playoff team, and the Patriots, who we assume are going to take a step forward, you know, but that Henderson is also going to offset that with his workload. So Judkins, and now we factor in the suspension and Dylan Sampson, who's going to be getting very quality reps with Quinshon Judkins out. He's in a very replaceable position. If Judkins were outside of your top 10, close to your top 15, I wouldn't bat an eye. I think now I'm on the higher side of things simply because we're playing the odds of a young running back working his way back from, you know, hopefully it's a situation where he owns up to what he did. If that's, you know, if that's what happened and that's what he did, I don't know if he's, you know, pleaded any innocence in this thing yet, but if he did it, you know, hopefully he owns up to it and just tries to learn and move on and be a better man going forward. It's all, even when we do bad things, that's all we can ask of anybody. And so if a guy like Henry Ruggs, who I don't think should be allowed back into the NFL, is potentially, you know, doing workouts and stuff, then Judkins is probably going to make it work. I think it's a little risky putting him in the top 10, though. I ended up focusing more of my response on the Judkins side because I think with RJ Harvey, you know, we've talked a lot about how excited we are about him. He has the talent, albeit a little bit unproven at UCF, but the competition, or maybe lack thereof is the better way to put it, in Denver and being paired with Sean Payton is very palpable. We have Caleb Johnson going into a very run-heavy scheme in Pittsburgh and a very immobile QB in Aaron Rodgers. He's going to get a lot of touches. He's going to be the goal line guy. Very telling for them to not bring Najee back and go out and get it back like Caleb Johnson while Jalen Warren is still there. I think that speaks a lot about what they really want to do. And because of that, I think they are very good fits here where they're at. And although I am still willing to hold the line on Judkins, if someone said, hey, I can't get him inside my top 15, hey, more power to you. This game is about risk aversion. And Seth and I both would be lying if we said that there's no risk in having Judkins inside your top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those situations where I love the player, I hate what he did and what that could mean for his long-term value in Dynasty. It's risky, but you know, I'm not opposed to taking a risk. So I'm on the buy side of Judkins, which we talked about in our last episode. We talked through, you know, some of those more polarizing players, Rashee Rice, Judkins, Jordan Addison, even, who's probably going to receive a small suspension as well. We talked through all those. So go check that out once you're done with this one. But let's move on to tier four. And tier four is kind of the Emeka Egbuka and the tight ends tier for me. And the reason, I mean, I think you could easily combine these two tiers, but the reason for, at least for me, is I'm unsure what the usage is going to be for these rookies right off the bat, especially Egbuka. If Egbuka was in a better situation, for sure, I think he leaps into this tier three. Loveland, Cole Kmet's there, and Tyler Warren, we're not really sure what the quarterback situation is going to be and what the usage is going to be there either. I like all these players, but I just felt that there was enough of a separation there. But what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I just don't see myself clicking any of these three over Harvey or Caleb Johnson. If I really was full rebuild, like, I don't think these RBs are going to be relevant in my, when my window comes, I could see, you know, these tier four guys, but I feel like I would have to try and move back or even just sell my pick as a whole, rather than, I just think the value difference is so big between Harvey and Johnson and then the rest of these guys, to where even if I'm full rebuild, I would rather take one of the two of them and try and work them into a trade with potentially a win now contender or somebody who's trying to take their team from the middle of the pack to a contender. It's just it's all ambiguous. Like, we don't know where Loveland's going to fit into this picture. Like, Ben Johnson is certainly the type of player who, he would take a Colston Loveland who can block and receive because of how that opens up his offense, and not solely because he wants to give him a 24% target share in year one, exactly like Sam Laporta, which I think is a dangerous assumption a lot of fantasy analysts are making right now. And same with Tyler Warren, where, look, we don't even really know how well his game meshes with Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. And then what's next after that? How does he even fit in years one and two when compared to Josh Downs and Michael Pittman? We love both the prospects, but look, we got two RBs who are getting opportunity. They have to be prioritized.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to. I think tight ends also, assuming you're not in an ultra tight end premium, I mean, even if you are in a tight end premium league, I think, you know, tight ends you can stream more easily than other positions, especially running back and wide receiver. Now, I really do like Emeka Egbuka's outlook in the future, especially with Mike Evans getting older, and he's one of my higher, you know, rostered players in like best ball leagues, for example, and even Jalen McMillan. I checked today. I have an absurd amount of Jalen McMillan because I have to think that Chris Godwin or Mike Evans are going to miss, you know, at least some games this year. And I think that's going to open up opportunities for Emeka Egbuka and Jalen McMillan this season. So Emeka Egbuka is probably my favorite buy in this tier of players to go get right now at his cost. So let's move to the tier five. And this tier is interesting because the biggest disagreement I think that we have with Fantasy Pros ECR is they have Jackson Dart at 7 overall. And we have him, if I'm doing my math right, and I'm going to count on air, and that's horrible. Actually, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm
14.
Okay, 14. Yeah, we have him at 14. So we have him 7 spots behind where Fantasy Pros has him. And I don't think it's because I dislike Jackson Dart. I am just very weary of the draft capital, even though he was drafted in the first round. He was drafted outside of the top 20. And there's also capable quarterbacks in front of him, so he's not going to get the opportunity right away. And we know that this coaching staff and general manager, my opinion is, they're using Jackson Dart as, this is our lifeline, this is our get out of jail free card. we don't want him to see the field. If we can help it, Jackson Dart is not playing a single snap for us in 2025. That will, if we have to use that lifeline right away, it means that we're in big trouble and our season is not going the way that we think it can go. And trust me, I think the Giants are in a world of trouble because they have the toughest schedule in the NFL and they're not a good football team on paper. I mean, they have some nice pieces, but when you're trotting out Russell Wilson there as your starting quarterback against the teams in that division, I don't think it's going to go well. So there's just a lot of uncertainty here for a quarterback prospect. And to put him ahead and, gosh, to put him ahead of Emeka Egbuka, Quinshon Judkins, ahead of R.J. Harvey and Caleb Johnson, I think is a bit much. And that's ECR rankings, so that's a bunch of combined experts. So it's not like one expert here, one expert there. It's just a cumulative average. But what do you think about that? Because I think Jackson Dart at number 7 overall, and I like the prospect, but that seems really high to me.
Did the Giants trade back up into the first round?
I think they did.
To take him?
They did.
I think if they would have held at their second round pick and taken Dart, this would be around the consensus ranking. I think it's the trade up into the first round that's getting people, but I do agree with you where if we got Brian Daboll on here right now and gave him truth serum and said, who would, you know, in your ideal world, who is your quarterback weeks 1 through 17? He's saying Russell Wilson, because that means they're winning enough games, potentially even in the playoff hunt, and hopefully behind the scenes, Jackson Dart looks good enough. Maybe he's their guy like a Penix, a la what happened with Kirk Cousins weeks 15 through 17 or 16 and 17, to where he can show a flash and Daboll could say, hey, we almost made the playoffs. We got this. The Dart looked great. Like, you got to give us some more time, and they're going to do whatever they can do to extend that timeline. I do think, like, we liked the rushing ability coming in. I do like the prospect in terms of the throws he can make. I just don't think he's rock solid enough to jump into the tier 4 for me. You have him once, but we have him flip-flopped here. Also, it's crazy how tight our top 20 is, with where I have them versus you have them.
And we don't talk about this before.
Literally, don't talk about it.
we have our rankings in like a separate sheet, and then we put them into one sheet, and then it spits out a cumulative average. But yeah, it's always funny. I feel like we talk, you know, maybe we probably talk a lot of dynasty together. That might have something to do with it. But
it's only one spot. But I think having him above Golden like you do instead of me is probably more proper. I tried to do my redraft or my re-rankings by asking myself, like, for players who I didn't hit the button on a lot, like, would I actually draft Matthew Golden over Jackson Dart in a super flex draft? And I just don't know if I really would. It's easy to put the Packers first round receiver higher in your rankings. It's a lot harder to actually go and click it with all of the uncertainty that has always swarmed around that offense.
Let's talk about some of these wide receivers, because I find this a fascinating tier, because I've been on record saying I don't like this situation as much as some other people do for Matthew Golden, because there's a lot of good skill players in that offense, starting with Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft, and you have Josh Jacobs there, and then, you know, you might poo-poo Romeo Dubs or Dontavian Wicks, but these are guys that have gotten decent target shares in the past, at least when they've been healthy on the field. And are the Packers going to use Matthew Golden as their number one guy? And I will say this, the Packers secondary on paper does not look very good. So I don't know if that means they're going to be playing in a lot of shootouts this year. There are some people that are saying that. I don't know, because if you look at their defensive stats last year, they were pretty damn good defense last year. So did they lose some pieces to it? Yes. Will they fall off a cliff? Maybe. I tend not to think so, because I tend to think that smart organizations, and as much as it pains me to say that the Packers are a smart organization, they're smart. They know what they're doing. And if they think that they have the secondary pieces to compete, even without Jair Alexander, that leads me to believe that they feel good about what they have, which means they're going to be still playing these Packer style games, run the ball a ton. They have Marshawn Lloyd coming back healthy, who they took in the third round, who I really like in Dynasty. We talked about him on this show. So I don't know. I want to know what the usage is going to be, because I still, as good as Matthew Golden is, and a lot of scouts will tell you he's phenomenal, I don't know if he's going to be a legit, even 23-24% target share guy. I feel like it's going to be closer to 19-20%, because that's what we've seen from these Packer wide receivers in the past. But what do you think? Am I off base here? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I do think he fits a good archetype here, where Christian Watson couldn't really succeed. He was that X guy, but got stuck really more in the deep threat, big play kind of guy. So if Golden can operate more as a true kind of X, but I don't know. I just never really looked at him and was like, yeah, that's a number one, like, bona fide.
I feel NFL the same receiver. Way.
And I could very well be wrong about that. I do think that sometimes, like, I was in on Brandon Ayuk when he was coming in, but I know there's probably a lot of people that said, you know, I just didn't see it with Brandon Ayuk, but he got drafted in the first round. He went to a smart organization, you know, Shanahan head coach. So I think they tried to do it with Watson with the draft capital they gave him. I think they're trying to do it again here with Golden. So that's why I give them the benefit of the doubt for sure. Plus, I liked his talent. I just don't know if I like the fit as much. But then I have people that like Matt Harmon, who know a lot more about football than I do, saying that he really likes the fit there in Green Bay. So that's, you know, all things that we consider. Jaden Higgins was interesting. He kind of remained flat for you. I bumped him up a couple of spots. He's obviously in a prime position right now with where he's at. Could someone convince you into taking Higgins over Matthew Golden in a dynasty draft?
Oh yeah. I think the situation is so much better for Jaden Higgins. And I know that on paper doesn't make sense, because you're probably sitting there going, well, Matthew Golden's the number one guy in Green Bay and Jaden Higgins is the number two guy in Houston. But I just trust one of those quarterbacks in the offense. We've seen it produce at an elite level in the passing game. And I understand that the Texans have issues along the offensive line, but I just trust CJ Stroud way more than I trust Jordan Love and Kyle. Oh God damn it. I can't think of his name. The Packers head coach. I'm having a mental breakdown.
Packers
here.
Head coach of Matt LaFleur.
Kyle Shanahan. He's a Shanahan guy.
Kyle, I was like, who are you talking about?
I don't know. Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur, it comes down to the usage. And when you look at the way they've used Jaden Reed, I get it. He's predominantly a slot guy. I understand Christian Watson's been hurt. So maybe they're just begging for a wide receiver one in that offense. And maybe that's why they took Matthew Golden where they took him. And then I'll be wrong about this. But yes, I have Matthew Golden ranked ahead of Jaden Higgins. But if you stood on the desk and pounded the table and said, no, we have to take Jaden Higgins ahead of Matthew Golden, I wouldn't fight you on it, because I like Jaden Higgins a lot. Like, I like Jaden Higgins more as an overall prospect than I do Matthew Golden. I had him ranked ahead of Matthew Golden before all the buzz of Matthew Golden played out. And the reason I have Matthew Golden ranked ahead of Jaden Higgins now is because of draft capital and situation, right? That's really it. He's the number one. Jaden Higgins is the number two. But I like the Texans offense a lot more than I like the Packers offense. Maybe I'm off on that, but that's where I'm at. So your thoughts on that, and maybe we could talk about some of these other wide receivers too, because, you know, Luther Burden is just really so interesting to me. I think Luther Burden this time next year could just vault up dynasty rankings depending on how his season goes. I think it's going to be dependent on an injury or some unforeseen circumstance though. And then Trey Harris too. I really like the wide receivers in this tier. quite a bit. Yeah, so
I do too. I think you're going to have to, we don't have to go into the full debate today. Maybe we'll do that on our upcoming Dynasty Debates video. Foreshadowing there. But you're going to have to sell me eventually on Luther Burden above Trey Harris in Dynasty, because with Burden, I mean, we got DJ Moore under contract for 2 more years. I think if there's anybody who's been begging for a real offense to be in, it's DJ Moore. And I think we're writing him off a lot based on like speculation of effort when he was in just some of the worst situations imaginable. And granted, sure, maybe not showing a lot of effort in those situations is speaking bad to character, but people are talking about him being the odd man out of this offense because of his attitude, but it's not really the way I see it. And DJ Moore has been a really effective receiver in multiple situations and multiple years throughout his career. And Ben Johnson is a very good coordinator at bringing out people's talents. I do not see DJ Moore going away. I don't see a world where Luther Burden out targets either of those two in year one. And then you have the come up of Colston Loveland. And I think this is a Jameson Williams situation. I think this is Ben Johnson seeing another level of explosiveness and creativity that his offense can be taken to. And again, we talked time and time and time again about this. If Travion Henderson's on the board, they take Travion Henderson over Luther Burden. That's a fact. Yep. So this was a best available player situation. It completely changes the way I perceive the pick. There wasn't a plan for getting Luther Burden and integrating him into the offense. It was Ben Johnson saying, look, he's by far the best player on our board. He's been sliding. We wanted Henderson. We can't get Henderson. Screw it. We'll get our own Jameson Williams into this offense, and I'm going to dial up 30. I already have 30 different plays where he can score a 70-yard touchdown. So I think, plus we have a soft tissue injury with an unsigned contract. I don't know if he got that deal inked recently, but
yeah, it was fully guaranteed.
Okay, that's what I thought. So he still got it fully guaranteed. But a soft tissue injury, a little bit of a late start with just now getting that contract signed and still kind of, I don't know if he's on the field yet, but regardless, still missing some snaps. He is going to have to get on a moving train there. I joked about how that wasn't a big deal for Rashee Rice, but it is a little bit bigger of a deal when it's a rookie. But then Trey Harris has a similar thing. I think his year one situation is much better. I think he can easily profile as the 2A of that offense. Keenan Allen shakes things up a little bit.
But did they sign Keenan Allen?
They signed Keenan Allen.
Oh, God. Okay, I didn't see that. Breaking news to me.
Yeah, so that is going to throw a wrench in things a little bit, but I don't see him being like a target hog at age 33. Did he sign with?
I'm he not didn't seeing
sign
it.
With, he didn't sign with the Chargers yet. Did I get? I might have get.
It's been a while since I've had Adarn, to correct
I might have gotten Adarn Schefter'd. I might have got. I think I got parody accounted. Which doesn't happen a lot, but
hold on. No, I don't.
He hasn't signed. I'm looking at like a front page of the news. I swear I saw a notification about it, but anyway, that makes it even better. He's easily the two in this offense. He's easily the two in this offense. There's links. They're probably going to sign him, but
there is a post on this. Anyway, there is a headline here that I'm seeing, but it's not from a reputable source. So Keenan Allen is still a free agent. So
if he's going to sign anywhere, let's be honest, it's probably the Chargers. But as of right now, Trey Harris. I'm gonna wrap this up because I've spent a lot of time on it. But Trey Harris,
Kyle Shanahan is
two.
Coaching the Packers, and Keenan Allen's playing for the Chargers.
It's Monday, damn it! All right, Trey Harris is the number two in that offense. And, you know, we're just hoping that he gets that contract resolved as soon as possible so he can get on the field and start living up to that year one potential that he has.
Yeah, I'll make the case real quickly for just backing up Luther Burden. I will acknowledge that, you know, the competition is going to be a lot harder for Luther Burden right off the bat. But there's no question he's dynamic. DJ Moore is going to be on the team through 2026. I don't know if his skill set perfectly aligns for what Ben Johnson likes to do in the offense. It's going to be interesting to see how that situation plays out. Roma Dunze is your just classic X wide receiver. I think Roma Dunze is the wide receiver one in the offense. But in those three wide receiver sets, you could see some real explosive plays for Burden. And if we see that, if we get even a taste of it, you know the dynasty community is going to go nuts for it. So that's the theory behind why I think his dynasty value could really take a leap. I think people want Luther Burden to succeed because they just like that kind of player. And maybe I'm off base on that, but he's exciting. Like, he's an exciting player. You know, he's kind of like the cocaine of players, you know, like, you know, he's just kind of get that into your system and you just, yeah. You know, now we are anti-drug here, but people just love these kinds of players, you know? So tier six is a short tier and it's a running back tier. It's basically because I didn't know what to do with these guys. I didn't think they belonged in tier five with, you know, some of these wide receivers that were taken in round two and round one. And I also thought that they've got a lot of upside. If the Jacksonville Jaguars situation, if they decide that Bashuel Tootin is going to be their guy, that could be great. I don't think so. I think he has fumbling issues, and I think it's going to take some time for him to ramp up, which is why I have him ranked behind Cam Scadabo right now. And Cam Scadabo, I mean, I like Cam Scadabo. We both liked Cam Scadabo, not as much as some people like Cam Scadabo, but it's almost like, and maybe I'm the only one that's going to say this. It's almost a foregone conclusion that, oh my God, Cam Scadabo, a fourth round pick, is going to overtake Tyrone Tracy. It's just going to, that's it. Like, it's done. It's over with. Tyrone Tracy's pretty good, guys. Tyrone Tracy is a pretty good running back. And so whenever I see this situation play out where this fourth round rookie, and by the way, fourth round rookie, not a second round rookie, not a third round rookie, a fourth round rookie. When we have people saying, oh yeah, it's a foregone conclusion, you got to trade away Tyrone Tracy, I'll take some Tyrone Tracy if you're willing to give him away cheap, because he's going to be the starting running back to start the season, I have to believe. And it's not like he was god awful last year. I mean, he won the starting job as a fifth round pick. So that's why these guys are, I mean, they're day three running backs in potentially good situations. And that's probably the best way to describe this tier. What are your thoughts on this tier six?
I really don't have anything to add. I think you encapsulated it perfectly on why they're in between tier five and seven, and it's exactly that. It's high upside swings at their RB position that will be very valuable if they get touches, and they have a very realistic path to obtaining those touches, which is also very important.
Yeah, let's skip right ahead to tier seven, and these tiers are going to get bigger because there's less separating talent wise. But this tier, starting with Kyle Williams, who the more I saw of Kyle Williams, the more I liked. We have a slight disagreement on Tyler Shuck. I think just because he was taken in round two, I get it. The situation is god awful, but the Saints, and I mean, they see a little something in him, I think. And I didn't see it in college. I'm not a fan of the prospect, but when he was sitting staring me in the face, when all these other players, you know, when Cam Scadabo, Tootin, we're off the board and I'm sitting there kind of in no man's land in the late second round, I found myself clicking the button on Tyler Shuck just for the value. And you know what? When he goes out and has a good game, or maybe even before he starts, once he's confirmed as the starter, maybe that's when I flip him. I'm actually trying to flip him right now in a league to get some more depth on a league where I've done like a quarterback hoard. But anyway, nobody really cares about that. So we'll see how that plays out. And then we have some wide receivers, Jalen Noll, Jack Besh, Mason Taylor, Dylan Sampson, and Jalen Milroe to round out this tier. So I don't know if you want to respond to the Tyler Shuck stuff or take this in any direction that you want to take it.
Yeah, admittedly, I'm probably a couple of spots too low on Chuck, but I think there are a few players still within this draft class that I would not put Chuck over. So I think one reason I really like this process for us is I think there are certain things that we prioritize, like I prioritize, you know, that are different than what you prioritize. And we have certain cognitive biases that differ between the two of us. And I really feel like when these rankings kind of get come together and we get to the aggregate average, I really like where people are placed. Like, so I have Chuck a little bit lower kind of where than where you would see him now on the screen, one spot behind Kyle Williams in tier seven. But I think that's right around where it is. Maybe he should probably be leading the tier. I would still take Tootin above Chuck just because of the value of what I think is still realistic for Tootin's ceiling outcome versus what I think is still realistic for Chuck's ceiling outcome, which is a average quarterback at best. But that's why I need you, Seth, because you're here to tell me, hold on, Matt, hold on. I know it's fun to talk about how much he stinks, but what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? Yeah. What if he's surprised? Yeah. What if he's Brock Purdy, you know, but second round draft capital?
But, or their plan is to just be the worst team in football so they can get Arch Manning. If Archie Manning,
yeah, what if he's
out
good enough to be Jameis Winston, you know? Like, what if he's good enough to throw 40 times a game? He might throw three picks, but he might throw three touchdowns and 300 something yards because they're down all the time. And they have Olave, Shaheed. They have the supporting cast to support him. I'm talking myself more into it as I give
Alvin
out all
Kamara.
These. Yeah, I mean, they have it all there. So I think you're more on the right side of his value as you have been from the beginning than I am. I, on the opposite, am way ahead of you on Dylan Sampson. And
you are.
We talked about calculated bets and risk, and I think in one of the most replaceable positions in football, I am going to love to take back end second round shots on a guy in Dylan Sampson who we really liked as a prospect, who was given decent draft capital by the Browns alongside of Judkins, and now has the potential to start the season off, potentially even play as long as the entire season as the starter. I don't care if Judkins has second round draft capital. That will mean something more and more and more and more as it goes on. And it's very similar to Tootin and Scadabo is Sampson. Now he has a longer term thorn in his side with Judkins there. And again, admittedly, he should be behind Chuck here in this case. It's an incorrect placement on my part. But the point being, Sampson is absolutely worthy of a second round shot because we're talking about a guy like Jalen Noel, who is going to be behind Nico Collins and Jaden Higgins for the rest of his life. Jack Besh, who is not taking snaps. He's not practicing yet. And another teammate of his who we'll talk about later is actually the rookie in Vegas that's getting work as a receiver. We have a tight end in an offense that's not going to be very good. And then we have another quarterback in Jalen Milroe. So especially in this tier, I think Sampson is somebody who I'd rather draft Sampson right now than Mason Taylor, Jack Besh, or Jalen Noel.
This would be interesting. I'm going to put you on the spot. So I had an offer in my inbox, I think yesterday. I get Dylan Sampson and I give up Trey Benson. Which side do you want to be on there?
It's like Sophie's Choice. That's
yeah.
I think that's an incredibly even proposal.
That's what I thought too. I turned it down because I like Trey Benson.
You get Benson? Yeah, you keep Benson. I would take the Benson side as well.
Yep. Yeah, but I will say I do want more Dylan Sampson than I currently have because for some reason I don't have much and I do want more exposure to him. Because I do acknowledge the upside is pretty tantalizing. What we saw at Tennessee last year was pretty incredible. And, you know, Quinshon Judkins, this is not a great start to his career. It's, in fact, the worst possible start you could have. And as much as I like the talent, there's a world now where Dylan Sampson, long term, is the better fit and the better player. I don't think so. I still believe in Quinshon Judkins. I think he was one of the best players I saw on film, and I know many people don't agree with that. That's fine. You can actually go look at that breakdown on my channel. I broke down the all 22, so go check it out. But Dylan Sampson's pretty damn good too, so I'm not going to disagree with you too much. You have Dylan Sampson. Oh, I had it. Okay, you have him at 23. I have him at 29. So we're six spots apart. And you actually have Jack Besh at 20, and I have him at 28. So we have some disagreements there.
24 is a very proper middle for him, though.
Yeah, and I did like Jack Besh too. But yeah, it's so far.
I think I'm underreacting to the lack of appearance yet this offseason. I think you're overreacting to it. If that makes sense. I still think he's going to be good because he's on our list later with time. I don't know how much we're going to talk about him, but I'm not super bought in on Dante Thornton just because of Besh not being there.
Yeah. So let's move to tier 8, and it's a huge tier. Terrence Ferguson, Jaden Blue, Elijah Arroyo, Jarquez Hunter, DJ Giddens, Dylan Gabriel, who we'll talk about, Harold Fannin Jr., Ty Felton, Elik Ayumanner, Pat Bryant, Trevor Etienne. And I could not believe this. Our biggest disagreement in our entire top 50 is Elik Ayumanner. You have him at 30. I have him at 44. And I thought if anybody, I mean, I was the one who was saying Elik Ayumanner is going to be a day two pick. Book it. And I was dead wrong about that. And now I'm not super sold on the situation. I suppose there is a pathway for him to get some target share this year with a rookie quarterback, but sell me on Elik Ayumanner. To tell me, bring me back in on Elik Ayumanner as a day three wide receiver, which is a big reason why he's outside of my top 40.
Yeah, again, probably a more proper middle where we have them, but I think for me, we're looking at a situation where right now, three wide receiver sets, his current competition is Van Jefferson. All right, cool. Step one, done. You're good enough to beat out Van Jefferson. I'm confident in that. I'm very, very, very confident in that. They did not give Van Jefferson a very big contract. They signed him out of Pittsburgh. And then we have Tyler Lockett, who is like 37 years old or however it is. He's 32. That's not that old. But he's a guy who, again, you mentioned it, right? Maybe he gets the target share in year one because you have Calvin Ridley, you have Tyler Lockett. But I think if he really maintains that role well, there's a possibility with the way he plays that him and Ridley could be getting time in two wide receiver sets, depending on their look. And we're also coming from a Cincinnati kind of tree where, and don't quote me, somebody in the comments can feel free to research the Titans 12 personnel last year and prove me wrong if I'm wrong. But something tells me that Brian Callahan's going to be going a little bit more three wide, like the Bengals tend to do when he has the personnel to do so. He didn't really have the personnel to do that last year with the tight ends. They didn't even really have the personnel to do 12 personnel. But you got Lockett, you got Ridley, you got Ayumanner, you got maybe even Restrepo starts getting some work in the slot. But between those four people and Chigakonkwo, like there's plenty to develop a really solid set of 11 personnel there. So I think they lean a little bit more through wide receiver sets. I think Elik can get some playing time early on. I do think I'm a little high here. Probably need to come back down to earth a little bit. The day three matters a lot more than I'm currently factoring in, but I think it's the talent and the long-term outlook tied to Cam Ward, who we think could be better than people think based on how we've been talking about him. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Two other players I want to touch on. You know, I think we're both in lockstep on Jarquez Hunter and DJ Giddens. Now, I happen to believe Blake Corum is the backup, but I will acknowledge that Jarquez Hunter has more juice. But if you look at the starting running back right now, Kyren Williams, doesn't really have much juice, but he's a solid running back, and that's kind of what McVay likes. So that's for that reason, I think Blake Corum is the immediate backup, but Jarquez Hunter is, I would be wanting to get as much Jarquez Hunter as I possibly can. DJ Giddens, I think, has a lot of upside too. Just, you know, both those guys, contingent upside. It's, you know, Jonathan Taylor's going to have to get hurt, or Kyren Williams is going to have to get hurt for them to see significant playing time potentially. Dylan Gabriel. Now, if we go to, and I have not looked this up, if we go to ECR, Dylan Gabriel's the 39th overall player. So not, you know, crazy different. We have him. I clicked on the wrong thing. We have Dylan Gabriel at 32 overall. I have him at 30. You have him at 35. So ahead of consensus there. I think that this is my favorite pick in this tier for a super flex league, obviously, because he's not rosterable in a one quarterback league right now. But call me crazy. I think he and not Shedeur Sanders is going to get some starting reps this season because the Browns are going to be bad. Why not? Why not give the rookie a chance to compete and see what you have? You drafted him in the third round. He was great in college at multiple schools, playing big time college games at Oregon. Why not? What do you got to lose? I don't know. I don't see them. I don't think Kevin Stefanski's job is on the line, but I guess it's the Browns. I mean, Kevin Stefanski's a great coach. Low key, I was hoping that the Browns would fire him so that he would be in the Bears coaching search. That's how good I think he is. So I think that there's a chance he gets starting reps. And if he gets the job with just Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco and Shedeur Sanders, and I know they have Deshaun Watson there, but he's going to miss a significant amount of time this season, if not the entire season. And we all know that he wasn't very good last year when he played. Call me crazy. I think Dylan Gabriel is going to start some games for the Cleveland Browns this year. Am I nuts?
No, I think he does too. And that's why I'm up there along there with you, with probably being the industry leaders in the Dylan Gabriel rankings.
Yeah, no, I love it. Any other players you want to touch on in this tier before we move on to tier 9?
I think I might be a little too low on Trevor Etienne too. I don't really think he captures that opportunity in Carolina, but I think just calculated bets, I should be a little bit higher on him than I am, but fitting to be in this tier nonetheless.
Gotcha. Let's move on to our final tier, which is tier 9, which I had to break up into two boxes here on, if you're watching on the YouTube. So we have Devin Neal, Woody Marks, Aronde Gadsden, who is one of my biggest risers, Taj Brooks, Jalen Royals, Isaac Tesla, Dante Thornton, who we'll talk about, Dante Thornton Jr., Shedeur Sanders, Breshard Smith, Jordan James, Kyle Monongai, Torrey Horton, and Ollie Gordon. So what direction do you want to go? Because we could go in a lot of different directions. We could talk about Gadsden, Thornton, one of these other running backs, and Breshard Smith, who we've always, like, throughout this whole process, we've been so high on Breshard Smith.
I'm just going to go ahead. I'm just going to do, we're about 9 minutes from an hour. So I'm just going to do, we're going to try and hit some high level notes so we can focus on some, try and get the whole tier all encompassing. So we got Aronde Gadsden. All right. We'll touch on him real quick. Big riser in our rankings. I'm still a little bit behind the curve just because I'm wondering how he can block. But in that Chargers offense, there's so much room for growth and upside. And there's a lot of opportunities from a quarterback that, yes, in a different system, has put up absurd amounts of pass attempts in different seasons. So he's really athletic, plays like a receiver, has options to play, you know, not just in line, but outside in the slot. So he has a lot of weaponry there and is really a value any way you shake it. Even if we got him all the way up to the end of tier 8, he's probably a value there. And then we have our running backs. Like, we're always taking shots on running backs here. I think I'm a little too high on Devin Neal. I still think there's a really good opportunity for him to carve through some of that that backfield competition. I really don't. There's still nothing really significant there besides Kamara. It's just the bad draft capital, and we've seen running backs. If any position can outlive that draft capital, it really is, you know, running back or quarterback rather than wide receiver. And you got guys like Woody Marks, who's backing up, you know, Nick Chubb and Mixon. But next year, it's probably just Mixon. It could very well be him the starter, as Taj Brooks is in a similar position with a couple of dusty veterans and Chase Brown. Breshard Smith paired up with Pacheco, who's had some injuries. And then I think Kareem Hunt maybe is on the Chiefs again. Kyle Manunga in a weird situation with Chicago. Ollie Gordon is potentially in a shot to get, you know, some Raheem Mostert-like goal line touches in Miami. So a lot of high upside running back shots here towards the end. And then guys, you know, who probably don't have a lot of big ceiling at receiver, and Jalen Royals, Tesla, Thornton, and Horton, but have distinct roles, and each of them could end up carving that out and getting some playing time. And while it's not a big ceiling, you know, we are in tier nine, and anyone who has a chance to carve out playing time is worth consideration here. And then we also have Shedeur Sanders.
I think it's worth mentioning that Jordan James is the third string running back in San Francisco, and Isaac Grendo is the backup. And I think, you know, in Dynasty, if we're gung-ho about Grendo, and some people are, I think Jordan James's tape was pretty good. And I think I'm on an island with that. And, you know, I got burned with Jordan James best ball before the NFL draft. He was one of my highest ownership guys that, you know, I was taking a bunch of Jordan James. But, I mean, if we're worried about an injury, I mean, Jordan James would project to be the backup to Isaac Grendo. I mean, we don't want anything to happen to McCaffrey. I think it's just worth noting, and I think that situation's a little bit better as far as opportunity goes and situation than a lot of people are giving it credit for. Kyle Manunga too could earn snaps in year one. I mean, I think DeAndre Swift's better. I've been saying DeAndre Swift's better, but they really don't have, I mean, if Roshan's not going to be effective this year, who knows? They really don't have that David Montgomery carried in between the 20s, in between the tackles type running back with vision. Kyle Manunga could fit that role right away. And then Jalen Royals has a lot of upside too, and that's somebody we've liked throughout the process as well. You know, Breshard Smith, Shedeur Sanders, I have him way low. I have him outside my top 50. I just, to be honest with you, I never understood Shedeur Sanders. I never got it, and the NFL confirmed my suspicions on draft night. So we'll see. I have zero Shedeur Sanders in Dynasty. Absolutely none, because I don't believe in the prospect. He was taken after Dillon Gabriel, somebody we really liked. And I just, like I said, I don't understand it, because the film to me is not very good. But I'm not an NFL scout. I'm just somebody who likes to do this as a passion. So I don't know any particular direction. And I was a big Aronde Gadsden guy, so I have him quite a bit higher than you do. And I have him at 36. You have him at 49. So yeah, just inside your top 50. Yeah, that's why we do this. And I'm maybe a little bit too high, but any final thoughts here? I think that going through this again was a really, really solid exercise for me, you know, just, and then kind of looking after I did it at some of the ECR stuff on Fantasy Pros and looking at some other people's rankings, like after I put mine, it's interesting to see, you know, where they have some of these players. And, you know, again, and when you don't look at the ECR list and you're like, oh, they have a lot of similar rankings that to what we have, you know, they have Aronde Gadsden at 50 right now, tight end 7 in the class. And I think he's a better blocker than you think he is. So I think he gets on the field, and he clearly has the most upside out of anybody in that tight end room. So any final thoughts here before we wrap it up?
I think that's all I have.
All righty. So you know what time it is. Let us know what you think of those rankings too. in the comments or in a review on the Apple Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you liked it, if you want more of it. Click the alarm bell till it goes ding. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are there, but for the podcast audience, it's at Seth, D-I-E-W-O-L-D, at Matt, or at Bab, blah, 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 at Babich underscore Matt 10 on Twitter, and you can follow us to the show on Twitter at FF Dynasty Table. So that time of the show, Matt, you got any final words of wisdom for the people before we end tonight?
Go download Fast Draft. It is a new way to draft your draft. It's the fastest anyone's ever drafted is on Fast Draft. They just introduced the Rabbit, which is their standard best ball format. You can go try that out. They also have rookie only tournaments where you can take these rookie rankings, your own rookie rankings, put them to the test and draft rookie only tournaments with a brand new, very innovative set of boosters that you can set to further maximize your chances at taking home the grand prize. Sign up with promo code DRT to get a deposit match up to $50. That is promo code DRT on Fast Draft.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to know what it's like drafting in a DeLorean, you know, like going at the speed of, you know, traveling back in time, like that's what it's like on Fast Draft. It's so fast. It's like being in the DeLorean, traveling through time and space. And all
literally,
you
if you look down from your phone for 2 minutes, like three rounds could go by.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the perfect, and I know they had some advertisements too of, you know, guys at weddings, you know, drafting. It was very funny. Very, very good advertising, at least from what I saw initially. That's going to do it for us. But as we all know, nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers. Nobody does. And we hope that you have a good part of your day, whatever day, whatever part of your day that you're in, make it a great one. Thank you so much for watching. And until next time, be good, everyone, and we will see you later.